y'all stand up if you can. Might be kind of tight for some of you guys.
Thank you. Amen.
Y'all, fix that. Yeah. You want a jacket?
No.
All right. How many of y'all still believing? Huh?
Amen.
Yeah, but let's start with a smile.
Amen.
That's a good place to start, right? Didn't we have a good time in class this morning? Anybody have a good time in class this morning?
Amen.
Y'all ready for we won't get into all of it, but we'll get into some of it, right? Now, we're doing evangelism. We'll be doing this for about 8 to 16 weeks. Praise the Lord. If you want to get your own book, you can buy your book. We're not making anything off of the book. You can order it from Christian Equippers. We'll have it ordered and COD it to your house. You pay the guy there and you get a workbook just like this one. You get a big old huge textbook. I think, Jesse, where'd Brother Jay go? Hallelujah. Krista, look on that back bookshelf behind the door there. And on the top thing, get that textbook out. There you go. He's getting his notebook. Everybody got a notebook? Got something to write with? We can share some papers. We want somebody from Bible school to share your written stuff with other people. If you order the course, you get... Anybody from me? Are you... Remember, what was the name of that course? Glad Tidings Evangelism? Is that early? But if you order this stuff, you get this big book, you get this book, and I think you get a track pack, but I'm not certain. And we're just going to run through this whole thing in 8 weeks. And it's going to be awesome. Right? Now, it takes us a while to get things going. But once we get it going, it's going to be really good. I want to hand out a couple things to you that I need from you. One is you need this for this week. If you already have one from this morning, don't take one. But if not, pass it on. You need that. You're going to need to fill out this. Pass that one this way. Take that, fill that out. You'll have the other ones for tonight. And you're also going to need this right here. Hold on to this. Pass this one that way too. If you already got, find someone, like split up. Glory, share your notes. Crystal, share your notes with Brother Jerry. And Kathy's going to share her notes with Brother Dean. Who else doesn't have notes? I can just take them from you and pass them on, and we can make it happen the other way. Praise the Lord. Who wants to pray over this stuff? Hey, you know what? Evangelism can be exciting, and every once in a while it gets real anointed, doesn't it? But, oh, great. Pass them out, Brother T. Who's going to help me tonight? I don't feel bad whether you want to take evangelism or not. I really don't care because Jesus commanded you to. Somebody say amen?
Amen.
You hear that statement again? Who cares whether you like it or not? We're commanded to do it. And so it's the church's responsibility. It's the church's responsibility to equip the saints for effective ministry. And a lot of people don't even know about it, haven't even heard it. And they don't even know that God requires this of you. You don't just get saved to go to heaven yourself. That's crazy. You get saved to help and love other people and help other people out. And I think this is the best evangelism course out there. You know, you go through a bunch of them where they have you going door to door, knocking, doing all that stuff. That stuff doesn't cut it too much, but this really cuts it. We're going to go over this tonight. Five of the most important evangelism facts. Now, I want you that took it earlier today to help us with some of those facts. Somebody give me one. One of you from this morning, give me one fact. Brother Tizo.
The church is built on Jesus.
The church is built on Jesus. That is the first and foremost evangelism fact that you can get. Somebody say,
the church
is built on Jesus. You might want to write that down or highlight that. That is the most important fact. The church is built on Jesus. Anybody want to, who was supposed to elaborate on that a little bit for us tonight? Who wants to do that? Is this thing, who wants to elaborate? Plug in over here. Anybody? Tizo, quickly. Okay, and that's going to go a little bit more with the other. The church is built on Jesus. I think what the primary point here is that when we go today, when we think about evangelism, we also think about church growth. You can't separate the two. But some say the church. Evangelism is all about building the church. All about building a church. And it's my personal, I never read in Scripture that Jesus is coming back to get individuals. He's not. Jesus is coming back to rapture a church. Amen? One church. And you got to be in sync with what God is doing. Not one particular group of people, but in sync with the church. Amen? So evangelism is all about building the church. Building the church. And listen, the church is built on Jesus. So many people want to build churches on other things. Name some of the things that people build churches on today. And when you get people to come to church, what are some of the schemes that people get people to come to church with? Does anybody know? Y'all going to sit up there and look at me tonight?
Theories.
What's it? Good stories. Nice illustrations. Thank God for nice illustrations. What else?
People.
People come and be around people that are just like you, you know? People that are just like you, fellowship. Hey, we got a big singles group here. We got a young adults group. We got a great married couples fellowship. Come on out and get a part of this. Everything else but Jesus. And we don't really find that too much in the Bible, do we? Do we see the evangelism schemes in the Bible? Any evangelism schemes you catch there, some of the schemes that we got going on today? When you go through the book of Acts, do you really see that stuff? But today it is so dominant. Today, evangelism is dominantly based on people that are just like you, giving the people what they want, all this other stuff. But back then, the gospel was based, it was all about the church is built on Jesus Christ. Now, what we're saying here is to build a church, somebody say conversion. Everybody say the word conversion.
Conversion.
Evangelism is all about conversions. It's not just about people making up their mind. That's the start of it. But that people making up their mind to follow God is the start of it. But there is something about conversions. And I believe in it 100%. I believe that salvation is a supernatural work of grace of God. Somebody say Zoe life. There's a Zoe life. If you in the Greek, everybody write down this word here. Zoe. Anybody know what the Zoe? Somebody say the Zoe life of God. It's a supernatural thing that takes place. When Jesus gets inside of your heart, something changes. Amen. You change. You're no longer the old thing. You're a new thing. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Something supernatural happens. How many of you have had supernatural conversions? I've got to be around a couple people when they gave their life to Jesus. And I got to see, I've seen several different groups. I've seen people get into the religion of Christianity where they just made a church commitment. I'm just going to go to church, and I'm going to get involved in this group of people. And they go about so far. But I've been around some other people and I saw them get saved and something happened. Something happened. Everybody say something happened. Deep on the inside of them, something happened. And I don't think those people were lying. Some of you grew up in Pentecostal churches. I grew up in the Church of God in Christ. And when somebody got saved, boy, that was a big deal. I mean, that was a huge deal. Something supernatural happened, I mean, you would thought, like, we all get excited when we get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Well, it was the same thing for them when they got saved. Somebody say new. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Now, we might want to deal with that. Now, the Azusa Street Revival started to talk about, everybody say, sanctification. That's some really scary stuff. But if you ever read some of the deep stuff those guys were into, they were into some deep stuff. And we got to look at some of this stuff to find out if we're missing something that they had back then. Are we missing something? Dean, you had a conversion experience, didn't you? Do you think you did? Tell us what happened to you and how long did it take and what was going on? Quickly.
42 years.
42 years. Okay, go ahead. And?
No, but I was raised in church until I was 16, and I was old enough to tell my mom I didn't want to go anymore.
Uh-huh.
And I got completely away from it. And we never really talked too much about the Holy Spirit. We talked about salvation.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't do anything, go anywhere, say anything, or have to come.
Uh-huh. When did the change come?
Well, I started learning more when I got back in church.
Okay.
Then I got back in church here. My wife got in here. And then I learned that knowing God wasn't like that.
Okay.
And so I turned my attention more towards looking at myself and what I wanted out of life and what was there beyond this life. And then I finally committed to God and asked for forgiveness. I wanted a commitment from Him. I wanted to not only be saved, but I wanted to know I was saved.
Praise God. Praise God.
And it was light, and it was energy, and it was a force that was coming at me. I couldn't get out of its way.
What happened after that? I'm just talking just real quickly because we only got about an hour. After your experience, was there any change in your life? Any desire change whatsoever? Maybe I write the word desire change. How soon did that happen? How soon did that happen?
Well, I just turned it up a notch. I think I was basically a nice person, but I felt that the need to be more outward and look for opportunities.
Okay. Okay, praise God. Everybody say supernatural conversion. That's the thing that's missing today. Now, when we talk, what's the word, if we just break down the word conversion or convert, what does that word mean? If we were to convert something, what are we going to do to something? Change it. What do you usually convert? Energy. You know, because you put the wrong, if I have the wrong adapter, remember we explained about the little laptop computer here, that's a converter here to make sure my laptop doesn't get burnt out. You're going to get in contact with God. When we get converted, amen, something changes on the inside of us that gives us the ability to tap into the power of God. So say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it one more time, Jesus.
Jesus.
A gospel without Jesus clearly and effectively preached. And I'm not just talking about historical Jesus. I'm not just talking about historical Jesus. Everybody say historical Jesus.
Historical Jesus.
A gospel with just an historical Jesus is not the real gospel. Because Jesus is ever present. Jesus is ever present. You know, so many people got saved because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but they don't want to get in contact with Jesus today. They don't want to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit today. They don't want to have God in their life today. So say Jesus today. Conversion. So the church must be built on Jesus Christ. Relationship. Someone say relationship with Jesus Christ. How many disciples did Jesus not walk with? Not one of them. Jesus walked with every one of his disciples. He talked with every one of his disciples. He had a relationship with every one of them. Amen? So people need to be turned on to the fact that Jesus Christ, the church is to be built on Jesus Christ and him only. Okay, second point. The church is designed to grow. Somebody say, thank God for that. Now, if the church is going to be built on Jesus Christ, the church is designed to grow, there's one thing you got to realize about evangelism. Somebody say, there is a cost. Everybody say a cost. There is a cost. Salvation is free, but will basically cost you everything. If you're going to get people saved, you know, we got to chip in. There's a cost, and there's a price to pay. You know what's amazing? We say Jesus paid it all. How many of you realize Jesus paid it all? How many realize Jesus paid it all? And there's no more that needs to be done for mankind to be saved. Jesus Christ did it all. But I tell you what, then let him still be doing it. In the end, he said, look, it's finished. When he hung on the cross, it's finished. But he is still ever interceding before the Father for us, right? So we say, praise the Lord. There is a cost to get souls saved. We don't realize it, but there is a cost to get souls saved. If we want people to get saved, somebody's going to have to die. If you want to reap life, you got to sow some death. It's real quiet in here. I don't like it so quiet. I'll start picking on people. How many of you want to see people come to life? In order for people to come to life, people have got to be willing to sow a little bit of death. When Jesus saw that mankind was dying, he had to sow a life, didn't he? He came and he gave up his life. Well, you know what? All we've got to do is do the same thing. I tell you what, if you want to reap some spirit, you know what I'm saying? Crucify some flesh. If you want some soul, some of your relatives saved, some of your neighbors saved, your city saved, you know what's going to have to happen? People are going to have to come out of the cosmos, get over to the kingdom of God and die. Somebody say hallelujah. There is a cost. Saints that are unwilling to pay the price. Somebody say price. How many heard the gospel clearly preached? You know, today it's real easily preached. Let Jesus come into your heart. Let him come into your life. He'll make your life better. He'll make everything better for you. Well, thank God for that. But I tell you what, the true gospel of Jesus Christ is, you know what? He's not out just to make my life better. The best thing he can do for my life is get rid of it. I don't want him approving my messed up life. I want his life. I want his life. You know, he can work through all that stuff. We waste a lifetime trying to get him to work our stuff out and do all this other stuff when we realize, forget it. Just give me the life of Christ. We teach people to pray. Ask Jesus to come into your life. Ask him to come into your life, and he'll change things around. No, then we preach it in the gospel. It says constantly, you know, that to die ourselves and let Christ live on the inside of us. Some say a gospel. Without a cross, there's no gospel at all. Really, you got to lay down something. You know, that's what the Baptist, you know, John's baptism is all about. It was death. Someone say, amen. The way to life is death. You know, when you get people up here, you know, we get people wondering why people don't stay saved, don't get into the thing. When I got saved, you know, I got saved a long time ago. You know what it was? It was all about no longer me that lives, but Christ living on the inside of me. Him not just trying to help my miserable life out. Somebody say, how? There is a cost. And I like this other part. It says the church will triumph. And it says that Jesus will provide the keys to victory. Some say the church is built on Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. If you want to see real evangelism, real revival, we've got to get Christ-centered. We've got to get Christ-centered. You know, we've got to start to worship God with all of our heart, start to believe in Jesus, and start to allow Jesus to show up. And then some strange things are going to start to happen because people are loving Jesus so much they're going to start to walk like Jesus and start to pay prices for things. It says Jesus will provide the keys to victory. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Let's go on to Genesis chapter, let's go on to chapter 2. Everybody say, understanding people.
Understanding people.
How many want to get people saved? How many of you really want to see people get saved? Want to see people come into the light of Jesus Christ? Get all that God has for them. I'm talking about conversions. Our goal in preaching the gospel, did we go through all of our five here? Church designed to grow, Jesus provides a key. Our goal in preaching the gospel is the conversion of individuals to Jesus. The goal also includes seeing those new converts become active disciples in a local church. What's your job? Jesus told us not just to get out there and save souls. He said, go preach the gospel and make disciples. Everybody say, make disciples. By sharing the gospel message and following up work and doing follow-up work, we can reach this goal. If we first understand the mind of the unsaved person we are trying to reach, this includes understanding where he is resistant to the gospel and working to overcome those resistances. It involves knowing his or her individual needs and beliefs. Complete evangelism takes into account that each individual behaves as a social person as well. As individuals, people make individual decisions to trust the gospel message. It is, however, as social beings that they are assimilated into God's society on the earth, his local church. As individuals, people are acceptable to periods of varying receptivity of the gospel. There are moments in each person's life when a window of openness occurs. These are often while relocating or beginning a new phase of life. Further, individuals, people are most open to receive the gospel message if it comes from a credible source. That credible source is usually someone with whom he has a prior trust or relationship. These two factors affect our evangelistic strategy. Our most frequent successes in sharing the gospel will come with people we have a good relationship with and are experiencing a window of openness. Everybody say a window of openness. Everybody say timing. Say it one more time. Timing. Say it one more time. Timing. These people that were anointed of God to write this course, they found out that, you know what? The right word at the right time will do a whole lot. So many times you push in the wrong word at the wrong season, ain't nothing going to happen, but somebody's going to get offended. But if you're sensitive to the Spirit, you know when to say something, when not to say something. You know when a door is open, then you're able to jump on it. Some say an open window of opportunity. If you're not able, that's why Jesus was so effective in his ministry. He saw people, and he knew where people were, and he could look at that person, he could look at their life, he could say something. He said, listen, I perceive this person at an open point in their life to where they could receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, as you walk through the city, as you walk on your job, there are people probably there. Amen. There are people there that are wide open for, not everybody. Not everybody, but God's been working on some people. And we need to discern when people are more open or more receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you learn this course, I put these things in practice. It really works. It really works. I mean, 9/11, we blew. The church just blew a great opportunity to share Jesus. I think it's sad. We let it get away. I wanted more from what the devil did than a flag on my house. That's a ripoff. Thank God for patriotism. Amen? But that's a ripoff. We should have used what the devil did for the glory of God. So say, windows of opportunity. And if we're not in shape, and you know why we missed it? Because saints didn't know. saints couldn't discern which season it was. They didn't know, hey, it's harvest time. People are prone to the gospel of Jesus Christ. All I got to do is put the right word out there right now, and something's going to happen. There are things that go on in people's lives where the percentage of that person being open to the or receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ is higher. If you just sit back and wait, those seasons will come. And if you just speak the word, or you just sow the word at that right season, that individual is going to get saved. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Most frequent successes in sharing the gospel will come with people we have a good relationship with that are experiencing a window of openness. A starting point in evangelism is to create large pools of relationships. Somebody say, open windows and big pools. Say it one more time. Open windows and big pools. That gospel is, when you learn the gospel, it is powerful. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. So say power.
Power.
Say it one more time. Power.
Power.
Say it one more time. Power.
Power.
How many believe that the gospel is powerful? We're not selling stuff. We're not just selling stuff. We got something potent. There are lost sheep out there, and we've got the thing that can hook that individual. And if we really develop a trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ and really know what our assignment is, and we sow that word at the right season, something powerful is going to happen. Souls are going to get converted. Now, it's talking about open. These are two things that you really want to know in order to be a more effective witness. One is you want to be able to discern open windows of opportunity. We've been talking about potential converts. Everybody say potential converts. Now, what they mean by a potential convert, everybody has a chance to be saved. Thank God for that. But a potential convert is someone. This whole course is written by spirit-filled people, tore up a city. Y'all remember that revival went on in Colorado Springs? This is the course that they ran in Colorado Springs. Ted Haggard and those guys tore the city up. Tore the city up, just running an evangelism program. It's the same program. Well, what they did is they were able to figure, they said, we've been going out there doing all this other stuff with no fruit. Evangelists were getting discouraged. They were tired of having revival meetings. I can't stand it myself. You know? One thing I did learn from being at Nations Church is I learned what a real evangelist is. Got so tired of bringing somebody in here and letting them talk to us for about a week, and they leave. Nobody come. But you know what? You find a real evangelism, you can let them stay in your house and souls will get saved. Real evangelists, people are going to be added to the church. No matter what, there's something about them, okay? So one of the things you got to be able to do is discern potential converts. Learn to discern potential converts. Learn to discern windows of opportunity. So when everybody else is in the dark and things are going on and everybody else is biting their nails and going crazy, you're discerning, wait a minute, this is the atmosphere when souls get saved. This is the atmosphere where people can come to God. Someone say, be open. A starting point in evangelism is to create a large pool of relationships with unsaved persons. Now, we have to learn who to fellowship with and who not to fellowship with, and how and what type of fellowship we need to keep. Now, you don't need to be, you know, running around with a whole bunch of unsaved people, but you know what? You got to have your love out there for unsaved people. You better have your love out there for unsaved people, and they better be able to experience that, better be able to feel that. So say, broaden your pool of relationships. Keep that door open. And what's that door open? You're just there. You're just there touching, waiting for that window of opportunity to open up. And as soon as that window of opportunity opens up, you know where they're going to come? They're going to come to you. So say, holding on.
Holding on.
Holding on, waiting for that window of opportunity. There are certain people, it's going to take them a long time to get saved. Not everybody's going to get saved overnight. Some people, it's going to take a long time. Amen. It's going to take a lot of love, a lot of patience. You can't get frustrated. You can't get ripped out. You know, you can't beat them up over the head. All you got to do is keep the door open and keep a good witness there and wait for the window of opportunity to open up. As soon as that window of opportunity opens up, as soon as you're able to discern that as a potential convert, all you got to do is sow that word, and that individual is going to get saved. They figured out in this course statistically. Y'all know what statistics are? Statistics are, you know, all of psychology, and a lot of people don't like psychology, but all psychology really is statistics. It's not some smart guy that got up and said, the human brain works like this because of this chemical. That is not psychology. Psychology, the foundation to all psychology is statistics. They say, if we got 100 people in this room and we give them all a red ball, this is what they will do. The largest number will say normality. Okay? This normalcy. You know, the largest, what most people do with the ball will be considered normal, and there's a group of people that will do some weird things with the ball. So they're able to predict personality types by statistics. Everybody say statistics. This whole course was built and designed by the Holy Ghost, but it's been proven by statistics, and that's what they're trying to do, is help you out so you don't waste your time. They're saying statistically, most of the time when someone's going through this situation, their percentage rate is higher during this season of their life. Who say praise the Lord? So a large pool of relationships with unsaved persons. These normally consist of such people as your neighbors, friends, co-workers, and relatives. The larger the pool, the greater the success you will have. Why do you think Jesus went, exactly, it's going to help you out. Why do you think Jesus went and ate with the tax collectors and all those people? Why? He was broadening his pool of relationships. He was broadening his pool of relationships. Am I telling you to go to a bar? Absolutely not. But we should be open and listen to the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost. Then don't you go, he ain't going to pull you out of church and do stupid stuff. Heard people do silly stuff like that. But you know what? Maybe a consistent drop to Starbucks. You know, maybe a daily stop at Donut House. Maybe mowing that grass or you walking, you do your daily walk, and all of a sudden God just keeps letting that same person walk across you every day. That could be expanding your pool of relationships. What pools of relationships? On your job. What is it? That's a pool. Your job is a pool of relationships. How many things that you really do? Your grocery store, you go to the grocery store, do you go to the same aisle and does somebody usually light up when they see you? That could be your pool of relationship. Most of the time, if you're waiting for someone to come through that door and you're going to be, you know, you blew it. That's terrible. What if we were all selling stuff? All of us are loan officers, you know? And we're all loan officers and we're all waiting to sell a loan. And all of a sudden we're just going to wait for the person to walk through the door, we're all going to jump them. None of us are going to get rich, are we? Nobody would get rich that way, but that's the way it is with the church. We wait for people to walk. We wait for the Holy Ghost to do something supernatural. Good Lord. You know? And all of a sudden they walk through the door, and then we all shout, hallelujah, because they came through the door. I'm so glad when Jesus came, he didn't lock himself up in some of the temple, and anybody didn't come to the temple just missed him. I mean, he could have just went to a temple, sat up there and preached, held a revival, and done all those other things. I'm a punchy brother. Hallelujah. Amen. And he could have preached and done all that other stuff, but he didn't do that. He got out of the temple, and he went to where the people are. With the right message, with the right word. Some say pools of relationship. The larger the pool, the greater success you will have. Man, I tell you what, sometimes when church people make me sick, I thank God for my secular pool of relationships that I get to share Jesus with. I got a pool of relationship that if I want to pray with somebody, boy, I can get to them and say, hey, are you sick? Do you feel bad? You want me to pray for you? Do you have a pool of relationship? Just pray real peacefully here. And get outside of this church building for just a moment. Don't leave the room, but just get outside of this room real quick and think about your pool of relationships. Think about those that God's got you right around here. Think of all the people that God's going to allow you to touch. Unsaved people. Well, if Jesus was ministering to him, he wouldn't wait for them to come to the temple. He wouldn't wait for them to come to the temple. He'd take the temple to them. How many people got saved inside of the temple in the Bible? Write it down. How many people got saved inside the temple? How many people got saved inside the temple? Come on, let's think. How many people got converted inside the temple? Just give me one name. Think of different people that got saved throughout the Bible and name all the places where they were saved. Give me some places where you know that Bible stories where you know people got converted, where there was a converted or a witnessing experience. First start with witnessing experiences. Who had witnessing experience? Where was Paul? Saul. Road to Damascus. Who else got born again? How about Nicodemus? He didn't get saved there, but where was his witnessing experience? The temple. How about that boy up in the tree? He was up in the tree, wasn't he? He wasn't in the balcony of the church. He was in a tree. Jesus saw him where? Back there on the third row, I perceive. Amen. He was up in a tree. My God. How many people do we know out in their lawn, out in their yard with a lawnmower? Brother Osteen's book, everybody, one thing I wish they had included in this thing to make it even better is you apply these principles here with potential converts and pulls a relationship with Brother Osteen's book, The Divine Flow. Unbelievable results. I mean, boy, you can have church if you learn to discern. Anybody ever read the book, The Divine Flow? Ooh, Lord, excellent. Most anointed. One of the best books in the body of Christ. I think it's the best thing Brother Osteen ever gave the church. The book, The Divine Flow. And he says, that little teeny booklet, he said that one little booklet is how he based his whole ministry and his whole life. And that's why he was so successful. Because he didn't do anything without the divine flow of God. You know, the divine flow of God. Anybody, I'm not just talking about ooey-gooey feeling, but you ever just went somewhere and all of a sudden your heart was drawn someplace? Your heart was just drawn something, you didn't understand that it was just something, and you just couldn't get a person off your mind, you just couldn't, or you just, you know, just kept thinking about them? You know what that is? That's the divine flow. That's Jesus trying to get out of you onto them. And if you were just faithful, not just to say a prayer, you should already be praying. That never does it. Listen, if you're just going to pray when you get a divine flow, well, pray a little bit. That's okay. But you know what I've learned? Jump on every divine flow no matter what. Just open the door. Just give Jesus a reason to escape. Just give him a reason to get out. Amen. And watch what will happen. If you learn to follow, listen, there are two things. Now, we're going to get into this a little bit more at the end of the week. I don't know whether you get into this. Somebody says spirit-led evangelism. When you read it on your own, it's being led in evangelism by the Spirit. Learning to find, and most of the time with a divine flow, God will back up his divine flow. Thank you, Jesus. What do you mean God will back up his divine flow? Something will happen. If you really got, you don't have to force a divine flow. You know what I'm saying? You always got to be a witness or something like that. But whenever you get a divine flow on the inside of your heart, move. Open up and do something. Give a bigger tip. I usually just get blunt with people, and I just say, something good's about to happen to you, and I don't know what it is, you know, but something great's supposed to happen to you. You know, I think Jesus is trying to get to you. I think God, you might think I'm really weird, but I perceive that God's trying to get to you right now. I'd say about, how many have been with me when we moved in those strange ways? About 90% of the time, success. Every once in a while, you get someone that feels a little awkward, but you know what? God will bring him across your path again. Jesus is trying to get out there and find his lost sheep. And you're his wheels. You're his vessel. You're his, you know what? I mean, he's just trying to make connection. It's sad that Jonathan Edwards does a better job for ghosts than most Christians do for Jesus. You ever seen Jonathan Edwards on the TV and he's talking to all the dead people from the past and your uncle wants you to say he's just opening himself up for people to flow through? What would happen if Christians open their heart to the Holy Ghost or to the Holy Spirit and just start to let it flow through, great things would happen. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say divine flow. Are y'all getting anything out of this, or are we just running our mouth? We're going to get out. Oh, it's 9 o'clock. I'm trying to get. Let's just get through this one little part, and I'm going to let you out of here. You're going to have to read Being Led of the Spirit by yourself. Are we learning anything? I'm just wetting your thirst a little bit. So two things you got to do as you read. One, expand, ask the Holy Ghost to expand your pool of relationships. Like one of the things that we're doing right now. It's like, you know, 24-hour fitness. Praise God. That's one way. If not 24-hour fitness, that prison. Hospital rooms. See, a lot of times God puts us in places we don't understand why we're there. You know, we think about, oh, what's best for me? No, God might have you in a place because he wants to saturate an area with his presence, and he wants to expand your pool of relationships. How big is your pool of relationships? Are you responsible in your pool of relationship? Somebody say, waiting by the pool. Somebody say, waiting by the pool. Say it one more time. Waiting by the pool. When that water troubles, some people can have faith. They don't have to wait for the water to trouble people. You be by your pool of relationships. And I guarantee you, as in that man that was by the pool that wouldn't get himself up and get in the water, well, thank God for that story. But I tell you what, one story that we can learn about that pool, at the pool of Bethesda, did trouble. There was a season. Somebody say, to everyone, there's a season. Everybody has a season of rest. Everybody has a season. God gives everybody a season when they're going to be open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all you got to do is sit there and wait. And say, hallelujah. He'd be unjust not to open that door for them. Waiting by the pool, waiting for the water to trouble. How many of you had to wait a long time, then all of a sudden it happened? If this pool of potential Christian, anybody got the pages I don't have here? Is too, blah, small, I guess that's what it's saying. Who's got that? Kathy, you got better pages than I do? If this pool, hold, where's my book? What book are we in? Y'all can go on the website and get all this stuff. It's too small. It's giving you some things that you can do. What page are we on here? Page 19. Y'all getting it? Y'all think this is good stuff? Thank you, brother. I don't know where we are, but I can tell you what it's basically telling you. If your pool is too small, there are certain things you can do to enlarge your pool. There are certain things you can do to enlarge your pool. Everybody think of something you did over the last 3 months that enlarged your pool of relationships. Kathy, give me one. What's that? Hallelujah. Join the Ladies Golf League. This man is awesome. Brother, give us a good one, Brother Gerald. What are you doing to expand your pool of relationships? Join the YMCA. Thank you, Jesus. You know how many people are blessed because of that? Thank you, Jesus. Wow. I mean, it's like ATM machines everywhere. What happened? You had to go to the bank every time you needed money. You'd never get money. But I tell you what, you can go to Walmart and get your money out. You know, when God really wants to sell something, he's going to put ATM machines everywhere. They're going to be somewhere in that, somebody in that YMCA. Amen? That Jesus is going to touch. Brother Dean, we might just have a little bit of church, y'all. I'm feeling good. Your office. A great pool. Amen. Some say your job.
A well, great. I've got to go to Dallas a couple of times and dress some people up there.
Pool.
I talk to them sometimes.
Pool of relationships. We're going to learn that in this pool, when you discern your pool of relationships, when you discern your pool of relationships, we're going to learn what ingredients you can put in your pool to make a difference. One of the things that they found out that a pool of relationship when someone's a real effective evangelist, what he will do, it takes 7 witnesses statistically, they say. Now, God can do anything. But usually it takes 7 effective witnesses for a person to really make a decision to follow Christ. And they found out if a person was faithful to get those 7 witnesses in there, people were automatically getting saved. And I thought, that can't be true. No way. You know what I did? I tried it. And I would just sit up there and I know my part. I just kept my witness of love there. Then all of a sudden, I'd bring somebody else in. And everybody, every time they saw me with somebody, I was with a powerhouse. I wasn't with a preacher. You know what I'm saying? Good Lord, they blow your witness every time. You know, they see you come and they walk out the other way. But I'm talking about people that could love. Everybody you're with loves me. Think about your pool of relationships. I've got to work your pool of relationships. Went down to Brother Dean's job. Amen. Everybody might not like me there, but I got a witness there. I'm one. But you know what happens once you get 7 of them to show up? It might take you 5 years to get there, but you're going to find people start to get saved left and right. I come down to your neighborhood. I'm one witness. Kathy's a witness. I guarantee you, you start asking the Holy Ghost to put other people in your pool of relationships. Not people that are better than you. Not people that can preach better than you or just do a better job. God wants many. It just happens to where somebody else could say the right thing and you'd be surprised. Amen? It might be somebody that all you need, the only witness you need is a goofy laugh. Amen? The only witness you need is a face like that. Some people are able to give up. And then God sends that last, somebody say praise the Lord. He sends that last witness. And if we're faithful. And see, that's what it says, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Why are the laborers few? It takes 7 for one. How many witnesses have you brought across your people? Someone said, there's a Christian out somewhere. I'm going to put another ingredient in this thing and stir it up and watch what happens. That's why I like it when we get other people to come to church and get involved, because my goodness, that's a witness. Somebody's going to get converted. It's too small, you will need to make efforts to expand it. The frequency of times you are able to share the gospel with someone determines if your pool is large enough. For example, if your pool consists of 15 persons, none of them are presently receptive, then you need to expand your relationships. Some suggestions to increase your pool of relationships are: join a service club or fellowship group in your community. Take college classes. And just don't join clubs where everybody's just like you. Good Lord. I mean, you know, we're just going to go and be more like us. Forget that. People think I'm real crazy, whatever it is. Go get in a group that's completely contrary to you. Completely different. You know what I'm saying? Go find people that need Jesus. Take some college classes. So say, take some college classes. Join a non-church athletic team. Go witnessing in a public area. Keep the names of any interested persons and begin visiting them to establish a relationship. Tap into existing social relationships. That is, as you meet new people, make an effort to befriend their friends, neighbors, relatives, and co-workers. Hallelujah! You got a friend that I can save. I got a friend you can save. How many friends of people did we know that gotten saved? They didn't do it, but all of a sudden somebody else popped up. Relatives, co-workers, this is especially helpful with persons who are new Christians. Typically, the newer the Christian, the larger the pool of unsaved friends. When you get a half-walking Christian, somebody say praise the Lord. Hang out, because they got a big pool of unsaved relationships. When you saw, I wish that Susie were here, because I guarantee Susie could have five of them saved by the end of this course if somebody just hung with Susie. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Oh, people, don't let her down. Susie's excited about the class. Susie has many unsaved friends. And all you got to do is go and be one of the witnesses. Derek. Your son, Derek. Hit that pool of relationships. Don't just stop with the person you know directly. You know what? You can't get your son walking straight right now. Get one of his friends. Amen. You know, go after that boyfriend. Go after that girlfriend. Go after the other ones. Save the ones you can save. If they're not going to get saved themselves, then use them as a hook. Go on out there, your wild self. Keep bringing them in. I'm going to save everyone. Do what you can. This is especially helpful with a person, a new Christian, but the new Christian, the larger the pool of unsaved friends. How many of you want to see people get saved? Yeah. Where are they at? With the new convert. You ain't going to hang around me and try to get a bunch of people saved. Who are you going to save? Come on. Sister Ruthie really needs Jesus, doesn't she? Jane Rendon really needs some help. Sandra Hughes needs some help. Let's go work on Johnny McGowan, you know? You know, everybody we know, they're going to need to be saved. Yeah, Rita needs some work. They worked her over to that. You know, they're working with my girl. They're making it better. Amen? But if you want to get souls saved, find somebody and learn to discern it. Say, hey, look, if God wants me to get people saved, this girl just got saved this week. There's some fruit there. We need to go into her pool of relationships and get them all saved. All right, I'm trying to get through this quickly, people. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to people you don't know, that you don't yet know, but who are open to the gospel. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Allow God to lead. That's my cat, y'all. Please forgive me. Let her out of that room. Just shut the office up. Amen. Amen. That thing is a trip. Yeah, I got. It is a cat. Amen. You don't like my cat? What's wrong with you don't like cats?
I like
cats. Okay. All right. Now listen. So allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to people. Make a list of all persons. Everybody, this is what we're going to do. Then we're going to let you go. How many of you are serious about getting souls saved? How many think if we just took this class? Now we've been having Wednesday night service for 5 years, and I can count on my hand the number of people that got saved on Wednesday night service. Now, we can just blow 8 weeks and get 8 people saved. Hallelujah. Amen. I think we all put our faith together, we can get a bunch of people saved by the power of the Holy Ghost. One, make a list. Make a list of all the persons you are developing relationships with and pray for them. Pray for each regularly. How many got a pool of relationships? And how many people in your pool of relationships aren't saved? Pass them out. I want you to start writing your pool of your names down. Just, and I want you to start to do that right now. I want you to write down your unsaved pool of relationships. Write them down. And you know what I like about this form? They said, hey, this form, you don't have to do, you write this stuff down and you get them in there. You put that person's name down. And if you are faithful to pray and to supply your witnesses or just to orchestrate those witnesses, they'll start to get saved. You'll start to knock out some of the people on that list. I would like to say, you know, I would like to say you'd probably knock out a quarter of them. Anybody heard the thing, you sow the soul is the word, only 25%? You sow the word, you got a 25% return. Write down the needs in their lives, points from your conversations, and persons present, and the person's present degree of receptivity, interest, indifferent, resistant, or hostile. Go on and write those things down. Write down some names. I can give you some if you don't have any. Yes, sir. Somebody might need to take a one that has been written on yet and go make some copies real quick. Let's just go do that real quick. Let's write. Just write down those people that you know aren't saved. Please, your next door neighbor. You've already started. That airline pilot, that guy, we went over there that day at that pool. That's a witness. Yeah. Right now, write them down. I tell you what, your boss supplies you with a big pool, Sister Bell. I mean, he gets a new crew. every so often, you get a whole new crew of people that you get to be around every day. That's a pool of relationships. How long are you going to be around this one? Sometimes you got people that date too much. Praise the Lord. That's your pool of relationships. The following indicators can help you initially determine the likelihood of someone being interested. Okay, now think about this. A person's likelihood to be open to the gospel increases if he or she has recently visited a church. Okay, these are things that are proven. You know, when we were talking about discerning windows of opportunity? These people will help you discern. Now, with this pool of relationships, and you're going to look through this list, and I'm going to give you some things, and it's going to make some people highlight some people and help you discern whether it's an open window of opportunity for them to get saved. One, they recently visited a church. And anybody on your list recently visit a church? This is a good one right here. Lost faith in someone or something. They say that usually when they were doing a thing, when people got converted, they asked, what happened in your life? And they say, wow, a large portion of these people have lost faith in someone or something. Gone through a major change in his or her life. Marriage, divorce, having children, a death in the family, etc. If these things are going on in people's lives, they are wide open for either the gospel of Jesus Christ or an onslaught of the enemy. Express needs in his or her life. Feeling lonely or unfulfilled, etc. Sister Bell, that lady at that Randall's store, That is a potential convert. How many are able to wiggle your fingers if you got a potential convert on your list? If any of those things happen to anybody on your list. We got one. Praise God. You got one? Yeah, a potential convert. Now, how many of your people are potential? These are just lists. And potential means that they are in a crisis period, that one of these things are going on in their life. That means you need to get the gospel to them right away. And if you can't get it there yourself, get another witness. And another witness doesn't mean somebody going there with a Bible or a set of tracts. That means going to the movies. That means going to lunch. That means staying 15 minutes longer for church on Sunday night and sitting there with that person. That means going to cut somebody's grass. That means a phone call. Those are witnesses, people. Review your list often and spend most of your time with those persons most interested and receptive. While they are interested and receptive, look for opportunities to share the gospel. Part two of this book will teach you what the gospel is and how to share it. But don't always seek a commitment to Christ immediately. One researcher looked at factors in those who continued as active church members after their commitment to Christ. I'm just getting through this one page. He found those who remain active in church were exposed to an average of 5.79 different Christian influences before their commitment. There's another statistic right there. They're saying about 6. Those who dropped out of church, on the other hand, and had heard or seen in some way the Christian message only 2.6 times prior to their decision. Do you hear that? That means that when only 2%, only heard the message twice, they drop out faster. But those that have the full scope of witnesses, amen, they stay longer. God can prompt you to make exceptions to this, but it is an excellent general principle to follow. How then will you know where to share the gospel with someone? How will you know when to seek a commitment to Christ? How does God lead you to those persons who are receptive? Simply stated, you must respond to the Holy Spirit. God desires the gospel to be shared by the Spirit-filled believers who are directed by the Holy Spirit. God knows the openness and receptivity of each person. He knows the perfect timing as to when they are open. His Spirit can direct us to the right person and let us know the right place and time to share the gospel. Our responsibility is to learn to hear the voice of God and obey. Much of our success in evangelism will come as we follow the Holy Spirit, tap into God's wisdom, and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 3 will tell you how to do just that. Now, all we did today, that was something that you were supposed to read yourself. Most of the time we won't do that. We'll just go over stuff. But all we did today was do some of your homework with you. Now, if you go and read, Brother Jesse's working very hardly. I mean, he's working real hard to get the stuff out there for you. But there's a section on the website if you want to go there. If not, we can print it out and get it to you. Amen. On Spirit-led, being led of the Spirit. How many want to study being led of the Spirit? And I think we'll go on and I'll call. I don't think Brother Osteen says we can make copies. They say, by all means, please copy our materials. I know it used to say that, it's tapes. So we might just take that Divine Flow book. Anybody want to come in and help us and put it on the web as well? So y'all can go and read the Divine Flow as well, so y'all can be open. How many of y'all want to get people saved? Amen. God will help us do it, people. God will help us do it. And we love Him. Why don't you stand up right where you are? Amen. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Thank you, Father. 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 Hola Brahma Hichikanahaya. Desnum Ramani Ishtelabaham Bahasiki. Ramanul Usalabahaya. Perframi Hitera Bohraman Usikanhe. Ye so Mohova Bahanda Usiki. Blongron the Yese Propahanda is Nime Hichiki. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody just pray, Father, do a work within me that causes others to come to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in the last day, a lot of people are going to be complaining and griping about, oh, people just wouldn't come to Jesus. We tried, they just wouldn't come to Jesus, but I'm getting something from the Holy Spirit. Say, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest that he would do what? Put more stuff out there in the harvest? No. Laborers. And Jesus is telling me there are people out there that are ready to be saved. And he's looking right now, the real work is developing believers. And I don't understand it. He hadn't revealed it to me why he has to use us to do this, but he does. Amen. The real work, we need to be praying that believers will be open to speak his word, because the Bible says, listen, my sheep, even the lost ones, hear his voice. But the only voice he has is us on the earth. And if saints would just get to the point to where we just are open, I'm not just talking about going nuts, people. I'm just talking about being just sensitive. Just be sensitive to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, to allow Jesus to reach the people that he wants to reach. And don't think on the other side that people just don't want to be saved, and that's the problem. Amen. The problem is saints aren't sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit enough to do it. And as you learn that sensitivity, you go, oh man, hallelujah. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. We all get mad. Oh, this whole city doesn't want to know Jesus. They want to know him. Just waiting for one of us to get there with the right spirit, with the right attitude, with the right love, to get out of our mess just for 15 minutes to help somebody else out for 5. And you'll see those souls coming to Jesus. So stop just praying for it. How many of you got loved ones out there you believe in God for? I'm giving you some direction right here. They're open. If they're open, God already did that. He's already answered that prayer. I want you to start praying for their witnessers. Start praying for their laborers. Because those are the ones that have the problem. Amen. Amen. There's some Christian somewhere sitting there that needs to go. Jesus said, how will they hear without a preacher? And how will the preacher preach if he hadn't been sent? I don't understand it. Do you? But we have a role in that. And as we're open to it, watch what happens. And let's just pray that God breaks that. That God just breaks it. If we have a church that is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, people will get saved. The problem is not that people don't want to get saved. The problem is not the hard hearts of the unconverted. The problem is the hardened ears of the messengers that aren't sensitive enough to love and to care and to stretch out and just be there. When that breaks, glory to God, when that breaks, people are going to run from the north, south, east, west, everywhere where they can get to Jesus safely and comfortably. Hallelujah. Put your hand on the person beside you and just pray. Just pray for them right now. Just pray. Thank God for that individual. Say, I thank God for you. Just start to pray for them. I thank God for you. And right now, I just want you to break every bondage, every hardness. Pray that their spirit would be sensitive. Pray over those wounds and afflictions or whatever it is, things that they've gotten in the past when they stepped out there to be loving, to be compassionate, to be caring. Pray for them right now. You pray for them and say, hey, love heals those wounds that you got right now. It's going to be all right. You get out there again. You get out there again. You get over it. You get out there again. Don't be afraid to love. Don't be afraid to care. There's somebody out there that's going to hear it. There's somebody that's going to come back. Boy, it's going to be good for you. Don't be hard. Don't be callous. Be soft. Be pliable. Everybody's not going to do you in. Thank you, Jesus. We curse that right now in the name of Jesus. Your people are soft and pliable to your voice and able to love, able to trust, able to care, able to reach, able to be sincere in the name of Jesus. Use them, Lord. Let just simple Christianity come back to our hearts again just when we're nice. Help us, Father. Break us right now in the name of Jesus that your love would flow through. Supernatural love right now. Jesus, so move with compassion right now in the name. God, send a divine flow of supernatural compassion through your people right now. We release your love right now in the name of Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Rabadurubo sebra asharamahanda. Bokusimini ichelabahandurubobaba. Greater, 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 greater works you'll do right now in the name of Jesus. Lamana asa, I release you to the love of God right now in the name of Jesus. Go on, Brother Gerald, just pray. I know that's the area that God's been leading you in that love area. Just go on and pray out. Ramanunu ustede bada ustabara la bu ibi kichinahan. Release it to do good. Jesus went about everywhere just doing good. Just doing good. Just go do good. Watch what happens. Thank you, Father. Everybody say, Father,
Father,
you can love,
through
me. Say it one more time. Father,
Father,
you can love,
through
me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Jesse, we're yours. Hallelujah. I love you people. I love you people. All you men, we need to get with y'all just for 3 seconds after the service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Gotta.
How many of you are encouraged in the area of evangelism? It's important to cover that stuff. So many people cringe when you hear the word evangelism. We just cringe. But you know what? We talked about it this morning. It's not our job to make people get saved. And there will be people you will try to reach that will just flat out reject you and the gospel. And that's okay. You're not failing when people choose not to receive. We just have to be witnesses. And a witness is nobody, nothing else than somebody that tells what they know, what they've seen and experienced. When you're in a courtroom and you're called on as a witness, you just tell them what you know. You tell them your experience. And so many times we're afraid to just get out there and tell people what Jesus has really done for us. But I want to encourage you to do that and to not be afraid of rejection, but step out of faith and hang in on this course because it's going to be really good. And I promise you, if you do your homework, you will get somebody saved. Even if you don't think you could, even if you don't think you have what it takes, you do have what it takes. It's not that hard. It's about letting God be God through you. And it's really simple. You just got to do it. So I'm encouraged and happy, but we're going to take an offering so we can go home. I've got these envelopes. If you're giving by cash and you'd like one, raise your hand. Anybody? Praise God. Can you pass those down? Thank you. Where'd I put those things? Like hot dogs? We're going to talk about that after the offering. All right, if you got your offering ready, just stand up with it. Let's pray over this. How many of you need a blessing? Amen. I think we could all use a blessing. And I know God wants nothing more than to bless us. And it's just important that we just get open and we free ourselves from bondage, from fear, and just be open to everything that God has. We don't need to be afraid. Offering times come, and sometimes we just want to hold back. But God's not trying to make you broke. Just be open. Relax. Be joyful about it. And I guarantee you, God will start to bless you as you just open yourself up to Him. But I want you to lift that offering up. And really, in that spirit, I just want you to communicate your love to God through the area of giving. It's important that you realize this is worship. It's not just about giving to a ministry, but you are giving to God. And I want you to honor God with your offering. Just for a minute, just praise Him with it. Father, Lord, we praise You, Father, and thank You, God, for blessing us, Lord. And Lord, we know that as we're faithful to do this, You are blessing us, and You will continue to bless us. We thank You, Lord, that we're not going to be begging for bread, that we've never seen righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread yet, and it's not going to happen tomorrow. Even if the future for the world is bleak and dark, Father, I thank You our future is brighter and brighter. Lord, we grab a hold of the promises that You have for us right now, and I thank You, Lord, that wealth is being transferred into the kingdom of God. I thank You, Father, for that. And Lord, we just open ourselves up to receive that, Father. We commit to being faithful with the blessings that You bless us with, and I thank You, Father, that as we do that, You are blessing us in supernatural ways. I thank You, Lord, that money is coming into the kingdom of God, and it's coming into the kingdom of God through us, Father. Thank You, Lord. We honor You, and we give You the glory, and Lord, I pray that for those here that would receive it, Lord, I pray a supernatural blessing this week, God. Whatever provision they need, whatever they're believing, Father, I pray this week a supernatural breakthrough in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you can bring it up if you can get around the table. Somebody?